In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
Hour number two is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. As always, Richard Battle joining us now at this time slot on Wednesdays. Richard, how are you today?
Good afternoon, John. Thanks for having us. We're doing great.
Always a joy having you, sir. How are things in Texas, by the way? Thanks to Texas, a lot of the rest of the country now is getting to enjoy some of the things you guys have had for a while now.
Well, we hope that Texas and Florida and some of the states that have opened up and have shown leadership and shown positive results will help influence the country and will help open the rest of the country up.
I believe they have. All right, let's talk, though, about, because this really is a big thing across the country, not just with you guys being on a border, you know, a southern border, but really across the country. Why is citizenship such a big deal, and why would we want to, you know, give that up in the name of equity?
Well, one of the things that's happened here lately is there's been a stampede to give diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they're trying to get us emotionally to buy into this, thinking that we won't perceive the cost of it, and we can emotionally decide and feel good to acquiesce to it. But there's a significant difference in equal opportunity and equity, because
right.
Equity is about equal results. And people have to realize, to have equal results, we have to give up our individual liberty and let a government try to make us all equal.
I say it all the time, Richard, and I've taken some flack at times for stating this, but I'll say it again because I truly believe it. While I do believe that we should all be treated equally, especially when we talk about under the law, we need equity under the law. But Richard, as far as I'm concerned, even scripturally speaking, that's about where it ends, because we are not all equal by any stretch of the imagination. Each one of us has different things that we're good at, different abilities, different tasks we can handle, emotionally speaking. I mean, on down the line, we go strengths and so on. And the reality, Richard, is none of us, and this isn't even a difference between male and female. I'm just talking in general. You know, you are different than me. I am different than you. I have different skill sets than I have. And by the way, that doesn't mean that any of us are bad or that there's anything wrong with that. But I think we've gotten so far down this path of trying to make everyone the same, Richard, that it's basically to our detriment, because we're not. None of us are the same.
Well, that's true, and it doesn't matter who's in charge of the government. No one can make us the same. I'm the only person I know that was asked to lip sync in the second grade Christmas pageant, and it doesn't matter who tries to help me, I can never be a good singer.
Right.
And like you say, we all have different gifts, and I have some that other people don't, and they have some I don't. And that's what makes the country great. And Adam Smith and Wealth of Nations talked about the invisible hand, where all of us pursuing our own dreams, how we all helped contribute to the growth of the country. And that's a synergy that's almost magical, how it works without government.
Looping this back around to now, you know, citizenship of the United States of America, which I'm very, very thankful. In fact, I thank the good Lord every day that I was born in this country. I also thank him I was born a man. I'm very happy to be a white male. He made me this way. I'm thankful that he made me this way. I'm glad that I am who I am. I was born into the family I was born into, and that I live in this great United States of America, and I didn't have to migrate here from someplace else, Richard. I am very, very thankful for that. But with all of that said, and it doesn't mean that I as a human, because I'm a United States citizen, am higher than anyone else out there, you know, in the spectrum of citizenship around the world, but I value my citizenship. I value the fact that I was placed here by God, and I want to protect that citizenship, and I don't want to give it up freely.
Well, absolutely. And there's been a movement for the last 40 or 50 years to water down the value of our unique U.S. citizenship. And we see it when we give non-citizens free schooling, free medical care, free welfare. There's a push to let them vote. And so every one of these things that are given to non-citizens waters down the difference
right.
of citizenship.
Right.
And which waters down our sovereignty as a free country, because if our citizenship's not unique, then what's the value?
Right.
And the movement to dual citizenship in the last several years, to me, is another thing that
Agree.
Waters down the value and confuses people as well.
Agree, because really what that says is we're no different than anyone else as a country, and frankly, I believe that we are. It's one of the things that, you know, our founders wanted to make sure that we were. We've got a different structure. You know, we as a country are the only structure like us out there, and our founding fathers knew that, and frankly why I believe we've been as successful as a nation as we've been for, you know, 250 years, Richard, and even beyond that. And it's because of those things and the value we've placed on it. And you're right, we have tried to water this down now, or not we, but the other side has tried to water this down now for some 40 to 50 years. And frankly, Richard, as far as I'm concerned, they're winning in this case.
Well, they appear to be on the surface, but it's going to be up to each of us to push back.
Agree.
When and where we can, because if we don't, we'll become subjects to the government. And the big difference is subjects are supervised or run or managed by their government, whereas citizens were
right.
the masters of the government.
That's right.
And I don't think any of us want to be subjects to a ruler or a party or a government. We have to maintain our individual rights, and doing that means we need to exercise that muscle of freedom and participate and push back on these threats to our freedom.
And you know my feeling on this. I'm going to again say this again because I think it's something that the other side has used greatly, and I believe the conservatives now have already, you know, bought into this language as well, which it bothers me, because every time I especially hear a Republican talk about us being a democracy, or I hear our president talk about us being a democracy, the reality is, Richard, if we're a democracy, then we're subjects, not citizens. The only way we stay citizens is in a republic, which is what we have. And it's another thing I think we need to continue to push back at. And I've even corrected, you know, guests that I've had, Richard, even some high-profile guests where they use the word democracy, and I quickly correct them and say, wait a minute, no, time out. In fact, I think it's detrimental to us as conservatives to use that word in a sentence. We need to be calling us what we are, which is a constitutional republic.
Yes, and that's what is very unique that other countries don't have. That's why people are beating our borders down to get here for that citizenship and the lottery prize of getting here
mm-hmm.
because of that welfare state. And yes, a democracy is one step short of mob rule, if you will.
That's right.
And the republic represents and protects minority citizens as well as majority, whereas
mm-hmm.
democracy is pure majority rule.
That's right.
And there is no protection of minorities.
So we talk about those folks that sacrifice for our freedom. I know you've got a list here of things that we have to do to fulfill that obligation. Give us those, if you would.
Well, first, to be citizens, we have to accept people's opinions and speech that we don't like.
Mm.
And the other side right now is trying to stifle all speech.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to push back like they did Eugene McCarthy during the McCarthy hearings back in the 50s. When they finally had enough and asked me, do you have no shame? And so we have to push back so we can maintain our free speech. And we have to defend our freedoms together, because if we don't defend people's right to disagree with us, we will lose it also.
Hmm.
And then we have to exercise that freedom. And it's like you were talking about Health and Wellness Wednesday. If you're not exercising, if you're sitting on the couch,
right.
You're going to get out of shape. And it's the same thing with freedom.
Sure.
And for too long, I think our citizens have believed that there's no difference. It's going to be like this regardless of what I do. And they just live their lives and not participated as much as I think we need to.
Mm-hmm.
And we need everyone voting and doing at least one thing to exercise our freedom.
Well done. Good words, by the way. I can't say it any better than you just did. Give us some words of wisdom from the book, Navigating Life's Journey.
Well, I think that the thing I would like to share today would be the story of a doctor, George Lowe, and he graduated as an engineer but failed after 2 years. And he was unsure of what to do. A friend wanted him to tutor him in quantitative physics, I believe, and suggested he try to go to medical school. And my friend's friend did not get into medical school, but George Lowe did. 50 years he practiced as a heart surgeon in Austin, Texas, 10,000-plus procedures.
Wow.
And the whole point of that is it doesn't matter if we fail or how many times we fail. There's always an opportunity, as long as we're breathing, to get back up, chase our dreams, and make a significant impact on the world.
Well said. Richard Battle, again, author of Navigating Life's Journey, a new book coming out in the near future, plus many others you can read as well. Richard, again, it's always a joy having you. People can just Google you and find you. It's really that easy, folks. It's Richard Battle, or he's linked right off of all the things we've got from our Facebook page to the website as well. And Richard, it's always a joy having you. And again, yes, tell all of your fellow Texans and the folks there in leadership that thank you for what they did in helping us get the country now, you know, somewhat opened up, and I believe it's going to open more and more every day. And again, that's because of states like you guys in Florida that were able to do so.
Yes, sir. We thank you so much for having us, and we say God bless America.
God bless America, Richard. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. We do appreciate you very, very much, and I mean that sincerely. Roof Max is next, folks. Dave Hart, by the way, another great guy that I just enjoy spending time with. Every time Dave and I have a meeting, I'm always in anticipation of it, knowing what's going to happen, what's going to get said, what Dave's going to do next. And he's just a great guy that wants to help you with all of your roofing needs. And I know that sounds sort of cliche-ish, if you would, but your roof should be inspected annually. I know a lot of you don't do that until there's been some sort of a storm or damage, but literally, get that inspected, find out where you're at. It's like your vehicle. It needs maintenance, and if you do the proper maintenance on it, you don't need to do the other things down the road, which, by the way, at the end of the day, still costs you money, whether you have insurance or not. Give Dave a call today. Get that free roof inspection, 303-710-6916.
Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it with RoofMax. The cost of asphalt roofing products has already gone up 20% and will likely go up another 20 to 25% this summer. To make matters worse, it's getting harder to find quality contractors, which means the cost of labor has gone up recently. As roof replacements become more and more expensive, roofing companies will start passing along that cost to their customers. Roof rejuvenation with RoofMax could save you up to 85% by adding years of performance to your asphalt roofing. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to 3 applications every 5 years, RoofMax could help your roof last up to 15 years longer. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
All right, affordable interest mortgage, Kurt Rogers. I say it all the time. If you would love to just know where you're at with your mortgage, you know, are you doing this correctly? Are there things you could change? Could you save money? Are there things you can do around the house that would improve the value of your house? And Kurt could help you with that. Whatever it is, Kurt's there to help, and he's my mortgage broker. Make him yours today. He's, folks, the best, period. I'm putting him up against anybody. 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, this is Al Smith with Golden Eagle Financial. Join me at a workshop at Ruth Chris Steakhouse Tuesday evening, the 25th of May. To register, go to klzradio.com/money.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And I didn't have this originally planned for this segment, but Richard sent me something that I thought we should play. Again, there's a lot of folks out there that listen on the other side that think, really, that I've been crazy all the way through this whole COVID experience. And I don't call it a pandemic. I call it an experience because that's really what it's been. And a lot of folks think I'm crazy for, quote unquote, denying the science. You know, I've been sort of an, not sort of, I've been an anti-masker from day one. And a lot of you have questioned that. Even some of you conservatives have sent me some very long, lengthy emails along those lines. And I've stood by my position all along and I'm not changing it. And by the way, here's some proof as to why I believe the way I do in a lot of cases. We've now got some testimony coming out from the teachers' union talking about how they helped craft the CDC guidelines to keep schools closed longer. Now tell me, folks, how that is actually science versus just a teachers' union pushing what it wanted. I've got the little clip here. Let's play it.
So you call it normal, though, I guess in the write-up of the Post saying those two suggestions that you offered, at least your organization offered, make it nearly verbatim in the final draft. Do you call that normal as far as the ability to do that?
Look, Pedro, they asked us for language, and we gave them language when they asked us for it.
So you call
it normal. So there you go. So basically, the CDC asked the teachers' union for language they would write in recommendations to how to either open or close schools. The teachers' union drafted the language, and verbatim, that's what turned up in the CDC guidelines for how we run our schools. Folks, that's not how this works. It's not how it's supposed to work. I know that's how it did work in this case, but it's not supposed to work that way. I thought this was about science, that we were trying to protect kids, that we're trying to protect the spread of the virus back to the parent or the teacher or whatever the case may be. Nothing could be farther from the truth, folks. We've been hoodwinked from day one. I've said this all along. As this thing starts to unwind and we start learning more and more about what's happened this past year plus, you're all going to learn that, number one, we've been right on Rush to Reason from day one. Everything we've talked about is going to come true. In a lot of cases, it already has. The data has spoken for itself all along. And now we've got literally the teachers' union admitting that they drafted the language the CDC used to close schools. Again, those of you that are on the left, this isn't how this works. It should be the other way around. I thought the science was supposed to guide what happened in schools and school districts, not the other way around. We've got basically the inmates running the asylum. What's wrong with that picture? You all listening out there, we should, every one of us, be absolute steaming mad that we've had schools closed as long as they've been, all because we have a bunch of lazy teachers that don't want to go to school that have petitioned the teachers' union to do so, and here we are. Yeah, I just said that, lazy teachers. No, they're not all lazy, but a good portion are. Yeah, you heard me, and I'll stand by that. They're lazy. And the teachers' union has far too much power in this country. What I just played proves my point. Never should have happened, folks. We never, ever, ever should have even reached out and asked the teachers' union for language on how we open or close schools. I didn't realize those folks were scientists and doctors. They're politicians. Let's get that straight, by the way. The head of the teachers' union know nothing about education. These are politics, folks, politicians only. And let me give you one other thing really quick to make sure you all understand this. They don't care about your kid, and they don't care about you. They only care about one thing and one thing only: a political agenda that they are funding through your tax dollars that then go to the teachers' unions, that they then gather more power, and they then influence politicians, and they get what they want. That's what this is all about. Don't kid yourself for one second that it's anything other than that. I'm going to repeat myself. They don't care about you or your kid. If any of you want to argue with me on that, feel free to do so. You'll lose because you can't prove me wrong. Give me one instance where the teachers' unions have literally helped kids. I doubt you'll find any. We have got this whole education system in this country so backwards, it's ridiculous. I continue to harp on this, hound on it. Every time I do, I get, you know, negative comments from some of you, even as conservatives listening, because of the of my stance on what you as conservatives should be doing when it comes to education. I don't know how to change it. I really don't. Because, no offense, a lot of you as conservatives have bought into the stupid public school education system, hook, line, and sinker. And for some odd reason, keep sending your kids there, which I just don't understand. But anyways, we're going to talk to Michael Bustler here in just one moment. We'll get into inflation, which I know we're switching topics on, but I had to slip that in really quick. So Richard A., thanks for sending that to me. B., it proves my point that all of this all along, and you're going to hear more and more about the things we've been hoodwinked on from day one. Folks, you've been deceived. Is that the best way to say it, Charlie? You've been deceived all along. The numbers proved it all along. I've continued to say that it's been an event. It's not a pandemic. The numbers prove it's not a pandemic. The left tried everything possible to make it one. But the reality is, folks, it's not. It's not a pandemic. You can say it is, but it's not. The original definition of pandemic, I will continue to repeat this, was a high death rate. We've never had that. We still don't have that. And yet it still continues to be pushed as this current quote-unquote pandemic goes on. No, it's an event. It's a political event created by a bunch of political hacks on the left that wanted to get rid of a president that had the best economy under the sun, and they wanted to destroy that and the country to boot. And guess what? They're doing a really good job of it, and a lot of us have followed along. Not me, but a lot of us have. Bruce Simmons is up next. He's our reverse mortgage specialist. You may be sitting on a pile of equity, maybe getting up there in age, 62 years of age or older. You're thinking, hey, how do I tap into this? Bruce can show you how. It's really easy. Just go to klzradio.com, find Bruce there, click on it. All the information is there, or call 303-467-7821.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Folks, you've heard me say that if you haven't heard from your financial advisor through COVID, you need a new one. And yeah, you do. Well, maybe you heard from them through an email, or maybe they, you know, sent you a little whatever blurb in the mail. But I mean, really hear from them. Did they call you on the phone? Did they schedule any kind of a Zoom call? Did they want to meet in person? By the way, just real quick, I'll throw this out there. If you had a financial advisor that wasn't willing to meet in person, if you wanted to meet in person, I get there's some of you that didn't want to meet in person because of whatever reasons. I get that. But if they didn't offer that, shame on them. You need a new financial advisor, because what that tells me is you had a financial advisor that's scared of the future. Is that the kind of financial advisor you want guiding you when it comes to where your money goes? I don't. By the way, Al's not that guy. Al had COVID even. Didn't miss a beat. Kept right on trucking along. That's the kind of guy I want on my side looking to the future, not some guy cowering, worrying about meeting in person and trying to do everything via a Zoom call. No, I want a guy that's going to meet with me face to face. That's Al Smith. 303-744-1128 or klzradio.com.
Before you make any decisions about specific strategies to collect your retirement funds, you need to picture yourself in retirement. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, meets with plenty of people who've never thought about how they will spend their retirement years. So he starts every consultation with an exercise in imagination. you probably have a plan bouncing around in your brain somewhere. Starting a business, traveling overseas, volunteering at your church, going on a mission trip, moving closer to family. Al will help you to envision, after decades of hard work, finally having enough time to do what you want. As you describe your future goals, Al will establish a realistic projection of what you'll need in retirement. Start planning early so most of your retirement income can be tax-free. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. klzradio.com/accountable.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Our next guest, Dr. Michael Bussler, who has been with us before, so thank you very much for rejoining us, a public policy analyst, economics expert, and a professor of finance at Stockton University in New Jersey. Dr. Michael Bussler, welcome back. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, John. Thanks for having me. As you know, it's my pleasure to be here.
I always enjoy it. It's always good stuff. You like me, because I've been saying this now for a while, and it's really hard to get some of the even economic, quote-unquote, experts, you know, traders and so on, to agree with you and I that there is actually inflation, and it's here now, and most people don't want to admit it for some reason.
Yeah, and it's really a lot worse than some of the mainstream media has.
Amen. Yes, it is. Okay, so for those listening that, by the way, have heard me say this, which I'm not you and don't have the same credentials, so maybe they'll listen to you better than me. Why is it that the numbers don't match?
Well, so here's how bad inflation is. The government publishes the Consumer Price Index. So what is that?
CPI.
So the government buys a basket of goods that the average consumer is likely to purchase. Mm-hmm. They do it in 53 cities around the country, see how much they spent. Then the next month, they go back to the same places, buy exactly the same things, and see how much they spent the following month, and then tell how much consumer prices went up in that month.
Okay.
Now, for the last 40 years, the consumer price index typically goes up 0.1%, maybe 0.2%, maybe 0.3%, and for the year, inflation remains 2% or less.
Okay.
So what happened this year? In January, the consumer price index went up 0.3%. That's about a 3.5% annual inflation rate. February, it went up 0.4%. That's about a 4.5% annual inflation rate. March, it went up 0.6%. It's about a 7% annual inflation rate. April, it went up 0.8%. That's over a 9% annual inflation rate. So for the calendar year 2021, those 4 months, inflation is averaging over 6%. And when you look at the trend there, you see that it's continuing to go up. Now, what do they publish and why do they say it's less? So they took a look at price index or the prices in April of 2020. And then April of 2021, they say, well, between that 1 year, it went up only 4.2%. But most of that, the small increases were in 2020. And as we say, in 2021, it's getting much larger. I'm afraid the inflation numbers are going to get larger going forward. Now, the Biden administration would disagree with that.
Yes.
They would say the reason we have inflation now is that there's supply chain disruptions because of the virus, some factories
right.
have been shut down.
Right.
And
by the way, some of that is true, but I personally, Dr. Bussler, don't believe that's the only reason we have inflation.
Exactly. Some of that is true, but
yep.
it's not the only reason. There are four other reasons why we have inflation. One, The Biden administration has declared war on fossil fuels.
Yep.
And as a result, they canceled the Keystone Pipeline. You can't drill on federal land anymore. They want to cancel the Dakota Pipeline.
Basically, it's a war on energy. Let's say what it is. It's a war on energy is what it is.
Exactly. And that's led to higher energy prices. And because there's restrictions in supply and demand will continue to grow because the economy of the U.S. and the world is growing, energy prices are going to go up. That will filter through and put inflationary pressure, because not only do you pay more for gasoline and oil and things, the truckers that deliver all the goods have to pay more for fuel.
The farmer pulling the wheat or the corn. I mean, we just go down the line, Dr. Buster. That core item that we all need to live off of, which, let's face it, is gas and diesel and natural gas and other things we need to live in. It's basically one of the bottom line staples we have in this country and around the world, by the way. When it goes up, everything else does.
Exactly. So that rising energy prices. Secondly, the Federal Reserve has increased the money supply by over 25% in the last two years. That, by any economist will tell you, that is extremely inflationary. And they've said they're not going to stop doing that, and they're going to continue that into the future. So that'll be inflationary. Thirdly, the federal government last year took in about $3.5 trillion in tax revenue, spent $6.5 trillion. So that $3 trillion deficit adds demand to the economy. This year, the deficit will be at least, depending on what Joe Biden does for the rest of the year, the deficit will be at least $3.5 trillion. So that's $6.5 trillion worth of excess demand in the economy on a $21 trillion economy. That's highly inflationary. That's the third reason. Fourthly, the federal government, to finance the deficit, has to sell bonds.
Right.
And when they sell bonds to the public, although the Federal Reserve prints money up for some of it, but most of it is sold to the public, that pulls money out of capital markets. That means there's less capital available for business to expand. So when the demand, business sees high demand, if they can't raise capital to expand, that will lead to higher prices. So while the supply chain disruptions may contribute something, there are four other reasons that will keep inflation high going forward.
I want to add a fifth, and you probably have already talked about this or you know, had it in some of your other conversations, but I want to add a fifth one. As an employer myself, I can see this. When we also have folks that do not want to go back to work unless they receive a higher dollar wage, because either they're afraid because of this, you know, COVID scare we've given everybody, or two, they're just demanding it because they can sit at home, collect unemployment, and make more money doing that. So in turn, all of us as employers are actually charging, or you know, we're having to pay our employees more money, which means we have to charge more for goods and services. That also creates inflation.
Absolutely. And there are, because the federal government, I think with good intentions, wanted to give people more unemployment compensation, they added to whatever the state was paying them.
Right.
As a result of that, some are making more, some are making just a little bit less than if they were working full time. They're not lazy. They're actually making a rational decision. Why should I? I'm not working and I'm making so much. Why should I go back to work for 40 hours a week and make only a few dollars more?
Right.
I'm going to stay unemployed as long as I possibly can.
Yeah, I'll stay on the dole as long as I can. That's exactly what they're doing. And that's why we have 15 million job openings in the country. By the way, for everybody listening, that's 5 million more than we had a year ago at this same time. So we've got 15 million job openings. And yet, Michael, we have the highest unemployment we've had in a very, very long time.
That's exactly right. So if it's, now the governors of 18 or 19 states have said to the federal government, we're not going to take this extra supplemental benefit, or we're going to stop taking it shortly. That means that these unemployed workers now are making a lot less being unemployed than working, and that should bring some of them back to work. And you point out, in the meantime, small businesses especially have had to raise their wages to try to encourage more people to come back to work. And as you correctly point out, that too is inflationary.
Yeah, I've said it for so many times now, Dr. Bussler, and I know people probably get tired of me saying it, but the reality is, as much as the left and the Joe Bidens of the world would love to tell you that, you know, corporations need to pay their fair share, that we need to raise taxes on this, we need to do this and that and the other on businesses and so on, what they all forget for some odd reason, or maybe just, actually, I think they do know this, they just don't want to admit it. The bottom line, Dr. Bussler, is businesses don't pay taxes ever. They don't pay for a cost increase in their expenses. I mean, they may absorb a little bit of this here and there, but the bottom line, Dr. Busser, because I am one of these individuals, and we have those type of increases, what we do is we have to raise prices, and we pass it on to our customers, and those customers pass it on to their customers, and on down the line we go. The bottom line is, the corporations and businesses like me are not going to, we just pass it on. We're not going to absorb this stuff, Dr. Busser, at all.
That's exactly right. Businesses, they want to raise the corporate income tax from 21 to 28%. And as you correctly point out, corporations don't pay taxes. They collect taxes for the government. So if you put a tax on a corporation, raises their cost, they have to maintain their profitability or they wouldn't be in business. So they pass it along to the consumer in the form of higher prices, and consumers end up paying the taxes, not the corporations.
Right. And again, why that simple formula and what we just talked about a moment ago cannot be understood by the majority of individuals. I guess it's just because they've been shoved all of this other information down their throat so many times by the other side that, you know, the rich don't pay their fair share. Corporations need to pay more taxes. On and on and on we go. What none of them evidently don't understand is that literally is a trickle-down effect. And whenever that particular corporation pays more for X, whether it be energy, as we talked a moment ago, or its taxes or its payroll, at the end of the day, Dr. Busser, you and I as customers pay for that.
Exactly, because the corporation has to maintain the profitability to get a return on their capital, or they simply won't be there. If they can't make profit, they'll shut down and go do something else. So,
yeah, and as a small businesses, I coach small businesses, Dr. Busser, in that world, same is true. Either they make a certain amount of bottom line for the amount of effort they're putting in, the risk that they're taking, and on we go. And I coach my clients on this all the time. If you're not making X money out of, you know, return, by the way, out of what you're investing, then close up shop and go do something else because it's not worth it at that point.
That's exactly right. An entrepreneur invests his capital, his or her capital, their labor, and they take a tremendous amount of risk. So they need to get a return for that. Otherwise, as you say, they don't have to be in business. They don't have to risk their capital. They don't have to risk even their, making their own salary. They can go work in a job, shut the small business down. They have to have profit.
Right.
Profit is not a dirty word.
No, it's
profit
not. It's a great word, by the way. It's one we should celebrate.
Absolutely.
It's one that, you know, profit is what pays for innovation and for R&D, and it's investment back into the businesses, and it provides other jobs, and it gives opportunity. And there's so many benefits out of profit, Dr. Busser, yet we hear from the other side constantly that you would think it was an evil term if you listen to certain individuals in the political realm.
Yeah, I don't know. They've made demons out of corporations. They keep saying paying your fair share, and even the upper income people, they say you have to pay your fair share. Never has anybody defined what exactly fair share
is. What is that? Yeah, thank you.
So all they do is keep raising the taxes, and they think, well, if we raise it on the wealthy, that'll be okay with people. The problem is that's going to hurt the average person too. Why? Yeah. Because when you raise taxes on the wealthy, or you raise the capital gains tax, or you raise the corporate income tax, it destroys capital formation.
That's right.
In other words, if you're paying taxes, you don't have as much net income left over to create capital.
That's right.
And when you can't create capital, that stagnates the economy. You end up with slow growth. It's exactly the problem we ran into in the late 70s. We ended up with high inflation and a slow growth economy that was a stagflation.
That's right.
I really hope we don't get there. I hope the Federal Reserve and the government starts to do something before we get there, but that's the ultimate end to where these policies will lead.
I agree, and I guess that leads me into my last question for you. You know, what do, you know, we, I say we collectively, listeners, and even some of the folks that are listening that own businesses and so on, you know, what do we do when it comes to what's happening right now? You know, we're not politicians in Washington. We cannot change the policies. I can't get the Fed to stop doing what they're doing or start doing what they ought to be doing. You know, I have no control over that. All we can do as citizens is really respond to what's happening. What is our proper response, and what should we be doing to prepare for this?
Well, we should put pressure on politicians to try to fix it. Now, that's going to take a long time to do. But as an individual, I would say hold on to capital assets. So during inflation, if you're a homeowner, your home will go up in value more, most likely, more than the inflation rate.
Yes.
The stock market will probably go up in value more than the inflation rate. So if you hold, if you can acquire real assets and capital assets like that, that's the only protection that you have. The other thing is, when you see a higher price, just as you would normally do, don't pay it. And so if somebody raises their price, say, well, I'm going to look around for some alternatives and get into the psychology that we've been in, that we're not going to accept price increases. The problem with inflation is once the price goes up, people start to think, well, I better buy it today. The price is going to get higher tomorrow. So once you get in that psychology, that leads to even more inflation. So stay out of that psychology.
Which just happened on the East Coast with fuel.
Exactly.
That's that great, great point. Dr. Bussler, it's great to hear from you as always. I enjoy having you. How do folks find you?
So on my Twitter account, it's at mbussler. That's at mbussler. And if you're on Facebook, search for a page called Funding Democracy. Funding Democracy. All of my columns are there, and I'd be happy if anybody followed me.
Awesome. Dr. Bussler, I appreciate it very much. You're always welcome anytime, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good stuff, by the way. And he's right. He's right in line with what I've been telling really a lot of you now for several months is, yes, inflation is here. I've told you that I think it's anywhere from, you know, 6 to 8%. And he just said that right now it's an average of 6 and most likely headed higher. So I've not been off on that. I'm not tooting my own horn, folks. But again, these things are right in front of us. You can see the formula for it. It's not hard to figure out. And by the way, I have been informing every single client that I have to do exactly what Dr. Bussler has said, and I'm just going to put a plug in for myself. If you don't have somebody coaching you in your business to help you get some of these things done and see what needs to happen, even in regards to inflation and pricing and what are you doing and how are you expanding and how are you going to hit some of this stuff head on and make the proper adjustments, email me, call me. I would love to chat and help. I have a room for a few more clients. I can't take a ton, but I can take a few clients and love to help you walk through this process so that you come out ahead on the other end. And again, not bragging, but every client that I've got has made it not only through COVID with flying colors, but in a lot of cases, they're expanding into other areas of their business, adding a different business in, buying bigger buildings. They're doing different things today because they've done well through COVID. Why? Because I didn't let them sit around and feel sorry for themselves and not get to work. They all got after it and did what they needed to do to be ahead at the end of COVID. And guess what? They are. So if you're that business and you need a push and some help, call me. I would love to help you get to where you want to go. And it's really simple. Just go to the website, rushtoreason.com, fill out the contact us form, and I will do just that. A good shop is next, folks. And much like I just said a moment ago, you got to push your people. You got to keep things going. You got to move ahead. Al's an owner with 3 locations up in the northern part of town. He's done really well through COVID. Let's support him. If you've got anything you need done collision-wise on your vehicle, even detailing, whatever it happens to be, Al and his crew is there for you. Find him at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
Al and his team at A Good Shop advocate for you behind the scenes so you can live your life. You may not understand the complicated details of your auto body insurance claim. You just want your vehicle back to pre-accident condition in a reasonable amount of time. Once you drop off your vehicle at A Good Shop, they will take it from there as you are updated throughout the repair process. Al and Jamie Sturm earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can provide the parts recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. They will work with your insurance company to replace parts that are best for your vehicle. A Good Shop wants to fix your vehicle right, so they contact parts suppliers so your insurance dollars stretch even further. Meanwhile, you keep living your life. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/collision for $100 off your repairs.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's afternoon rush, KLZ 560. We are going to talk here in this next top of the hour segment with Richard Giordano, who's been with us before, about the transgender policies that are inside of our scholastic, how should I say this, agency in Colorado, CHSAA, C-H-S-A-A. That's the Colorado High School Athletic Association, and they've got a transgender policy. We've talked about it before. Richard's going to join me at the top of the hour to talk more about that. In other news along those lines, and I am not a follower of these individuals like others I know, Charlie being one of them, Demi Lovato, is she a singer, Charlie, or what does she do? He says, oh, former Disney actress, now singer. So she has announced they are non-binary and are changing their pronouns. So the article goes on to say, this is in 9 News, singer Demi Lovato revealed on Wednesday, today, they identify as non-binary and are changing their pronouns, telling fans the decision came after self-reflective work. Today is a day I'm so happy to share more of my life with you all. I'm proud to let you know that I identify as non-binary. She announced on Twitter an accompanying video, adding, they will officially be changing my pronouns to they, them moving forward. Okay, so I thought maybe she had a partner or somebody, Charlie, when she said they are non-binary, because they, to me, is plural for more than one person. But evidently, I'm wrong. He says, yes, I'm wrong. Charlie says, I'm out of it. So they is a single person? So Charlie says she is they now. I'm utterly confused, by the way. So she is they. So they, meaning she, meaning one person, is claiming that she's now non-binary, which means she can go, she just doesn't know what she is. Oh, Charlie says she's neither male nor female. Well, I can tell you, by the way, just from looking at her, she's pretty much a female. Charlie's laughing at me. If you look at any of her pictures, she's a pretty good looking woman. And she is a woman. I mean, looks to me like all the parts are there, and she's not a man. If she's a man, she's a pretty good-looking man, let's just say that. So as far as I can tell, she's a woman. But I guess now she doesn't know what she is, and she's now they. Folks, honestly, I don't get it. Charlie says I'm out of touch, and yes, I am very much out of touch, because last I checked, there's he's and she's. And them and they are plural for more than one, not singular. But as he says, I'm out of touch, so I guess I need to figure out all these proper pronouns and how they work and who's who and who's what. But last I checked, at least in my world, they means more than one, but not in this particular case. So Demi Lovato is now non-binary, meaning I guess she's just fluid. She can do whatever she – no, that's a different term too. I'm wrong there. Sorry. I got that one wrong, too. If you're fluid, then you're can be one thing one day and something else the next. It just kind of depends on what's going on. In this case, she is non-binary, so she is neither male or female. So, Charlie, clue me in on this. If she was going to go out on a date, would she be dating a man or a woman? Well, Charlie says they could date whoever they want. I am so confused. This is just crazy. We wonder what's wrong with this world and why so many people have been sucked into this whole COVID nonsense, because we have this crap going on. And we think it's okay. And we somehow celebrate it. This woman's lost her complete utter mind. By the way, if you're somebody out there buying her crap, stop. This woman doesn't need any... their crap, Charlie says. Yeah, if you're buying their crap, stop. Because all you're doing is basically encouraging her behavior, which, by the way, is just... Oh, sorry, their behavior. Not her behavior. Stop. Anyways. It's just utter nonsense. You're buying things from a crazy woman. That's how I look at it. Crazy person. I haven't got it right yet. I'm never going to get it right. All right, what I can get right is Franktown Firearms and what it takes to buy a gun That's something I do know about, and I know about guns. I love guns. I'm a gun owner myself. I've been around guns since I was very, very young. My dad, and I was fortunate enough to have a dad that believed in them, taught us respect for them, a healthy respect, which, by the way, they're also doing at Franktown Firearms with young people as well. So if you're looking to buy a gun, flat out, go see Franktown. Find him at klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
Preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Everyone at Franktown Firearms has the same goal, to fire off some freedom seeds safely and confidently. That common goal builds relationships based on shared values and mutual respect, which makes Franktown Firearms one of the few places you can preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Because they maintain good relationships with suppliers, treat customers with respect, and offer lower tax rates, Franktown Firearms continues to sell guns and ammo at or below MSRP. But they don't only want you to buy a gun. They want to see you develop confidence through practice. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/franktown for $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members, first responders, and military veterans receive discounts in the shop, as well as discounts on all classes. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. It's Toby, is that right, Charlie? Toby, you're up next.
Yes,
I've got 30 seconds is all. Go ahead.
Okay. They can't decide whether it's a he or a she, so we'll just call it, or what is it?
Say that again real quick. We'll call him what?
It.
Call it it. Oh, okay. Good one. Yes. Toby, great. Yo, perfect. All right, we got 15 seconds. Dave, you're up next. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, John, I was just wondering, who's on first?
Jeez. That's how I felt a moment ago. Good grief,
no, that's
Dave.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Oh,
like,
my word. Oh my, it's exactly what it's like.
It's like a bad Abbott and Costello routine. I'm like, what's going on here now?
I mean,
have we lost our minds?
Yes, Dave, we have. Absolutely.
You know,
we
up
have.
Up is down and left is right.
Yep.
And, you know, right, wrong is correct.
You got it. Yeah. Dave, I got to run. Appreciate it. Good stuff. Good comments, by the way. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about transgenders in CHASA here in just one moment. Their policy there. We'll be right back. Hour 3 is next. Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.